100 years ago, the Italian operatic composer Giacomo Puccini was having lunch in New York with Victor Herbert, the leading composer of operettas in this country. Then the band in the restaurant began playing music from Herbert's current hit, Sweethearts. Puccini became outraged, says songwriter Paul Williams, who's ASCAP's current president.
He said to Victor Herbert, "Why are you not licensing this music? You should be paid for this music, because in Europe we are." And it seemed like a brilliant idea.
Such a brilliant idea that Herbert assembled some of the era's major musical figures, including John Philip Sousa and Irving Berlin, to found ASCAP. It was all very good to try and collect royalties for performances by bands in restaurants and dance halls, but would the venues agree to pay for something they'd been getting for free? Bruce Pollack, who's written a history of ASCAP, says that for a century the organization has had to fight, sometimes literally, for every penny it collects.
For years, and probably still to this day, anybody who has the job at ASCAP of being that guy who has to go into a place that isn't licensed and tell the owner, now you have to be licensed. That was the most dangerous job. People would wind up in jail. They'd get beat up. They would be threatened.
President Paul Williams says ASCAP collects royalties out of a sense of mission. It's a nonprofit run by its member songwriters, composers, and publishers. And ASCAP came up with something called a blanket license in an effort to make the process simpler. It bases the rate on how many hours a store or restaurant that wants to play background music is open, or how many people listen to a radio network.
Blanket license meaning you can play as much ASCAP music as often as you want.
The rainbow way up high. There's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby.
Until 1940, ASCAP had a monopoly on collecting royalties. Then the radio industry, which was fighting ASCAP over rates, took all of the performing rights organization's music off the air, says author Bruce Pollack. Radio stations replaced it with music that wasn't licensed to ASCAP.
Which was like country music and rhythm and blues, and they started playing that. And apparently the public either didn't know or didn't care or didn't complain, and it went on for 8 months until ASCAP finally had to renegotiate.
Meanwhile, the broadcasters had set up BMI and, over the years, signed new artists like Chuck Berry, Buddy Holly, and the Beatles. ASCAP almost missed rock and roll entirely, and Bruce Pollack says it took a long time for them to catch up.
They really took them till the mid-60s. Before they began to realize that, as they say, rock and roll is here to stay.
ASCAP now represents close to 500,000 composers in all musical genres and collects almost $1 billion a year in royalties for them.
And now it's solid! Solid as a rock!
Valerie Simpson and her late husband Nick Ashford were among the top writers at Motown before they went on to their own career as performers. Now a board member of ASCAP, she says one of the most important things it does for songwriters is give them a sense of stability.
You know, we just didn't have to think about it. Some kind of check was going to come. You know, all we had to do was create.
One of her fellow creators is Pulitzer Prize-winning classical composer David Lang. He's been a member for 30 years. While the majority of his income comes from commissions and teaching, he says he looks forward to receiving his quarterly ASCAP royalty check.
I get super, super excited when I open it up and I go, oh, this piece is being played in Japan, or this piece is being played in Poland, or, I mean, I love the idea that the music can go someplace without me, and that I may not know about it, but somehow ASCAP finds out.
Still, ASCAP has its challenges in the digital era. It's currently in litigation with Pandora, the internet radio company, over rates. For VOA News, I'm Jeff London in New York.